One of the... That's the message. Amen. I could just sit down now. I'm happy. Yeah. Are you filled up?
Amen.
Do you want to be filled up?
Amen.
Does it make you happy?
Amen.
You know what? When you're filled up, not only are you happy, but everyone else around you is happy. When you're not filled up, right? When I'm not filled up, nobody's happy. My wife's not happy. My kids aren't happy. The brothers aren't happy, right? Brothers that are with me all the time. When I'm not filled up, I serve on the team. And sometimes you're just not filled up. And that's why you need to be on a team. You need to have some companions.
Amen.
So they can help you get filled up.
Amen.
So they can be happy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's read this message title. Actually, let's go real quick. And you should know the message titles because they're actually related to the verses. So, message one, related to our human spirit.
Amen.
What verse?
Ephesians 1:17.
Right. Receiving revelation in our spirit. Right?
Amen.
And what was message two about? Becoming. Say it loud. Okay. Don't forget the verses. They're going to be on the test today. Okay, what was verse 3 about? Say it loud. Being strengthened into our spirit. Okay, inner man, spirit. Okay, and then you guys gave the message yesterday, right? Message 4, being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Okay, let's read today's message. This is actually from the last two chapters, so this is 5 and 6. Go ahead. Okay, so today we're going to talk about being filled in spirit, praying in spirit. So we need to know a little bit something about our spirit, our human spirit. You know, I really appreciate this matter of the human spirit. And, you know, growing up, I grew up a little bit in Christianity. I never heard about my human spirit. And I never really even heard about the spirit. I kind of heard about the spirit. Like the kite without a string. It's just some... Actually, I heard of it like a ghost, like it's an apparition. We can't really understand it. So actually, there's a lot of missings concerning the spirit, but even concerning our human spirit. And actually, you know, the human spirit is mentioned, I think it's about 76, 78 times in the New Testament. Did you realize the human spirit is mentioned that many times in the New Testament? And sometimes it's a combination of the human spirit with the divine spirit, and it's kind of hard to tell, is it the divine spirit or is it the human spirit?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
Amen.
It's a mingled spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to do a little talk. We're going to get a little scientific. So who here studies science? Or how about anything with anatomy? Any pre-med anatomy? Raise your hands high. How about genetics? Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about genetics, a little bit about anatomy. So let's start with Genesis 1:26. That's always a great place to start. What does Genesis 1:26 say? Okay, you can stop there. That's good. God said, let us make man according to our image, according to our likeness. And then I like this next part. And let them. So God's intention when he created man was to have a man, right, that would express him in his image. But also, his thought wasn't just for an individual man. It was actually for a corporate man. And so you should be really impressed this weekend. What we're talking about is the corporate man in Genesis 1:26. Right? So this is the man that God will gain to express him in his image. And I really appreciated this word. We'll get into this a little bit. Is the church is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. And even we talked about last night in 3:19, we talked about the fullness of God. So this fullness is really the expression of God, or the expression of Christ. Amen. So, one thing I want to, we've touched on this a little bit, but really, when God created man, you know, he didn't create man as a tool to do something for him. You know, so even a lot of Christians think, you know, you receive the Lord, and then right away, you want to go do something for God. Now I'm God's tool. But actually, God didn't create man as a tool. God created man as a vessel. Right? And so this is a vessel here, right? And it contains some water. A vessel is meant to be filled, contain, and it's actually, this vessel here is meant to overflow. Amen. Right? It's not just meant to be filled. This bottle, you know, actually I left some water bottles in my garage for a long time, and they kind of just deflated, and nobody wanted to drink the water, except the kids. They would run in every now and then and grab. I don't know what was wrong. I wouldn't drink that water. It was pretty nasty, but it's okay. The kids, they're still alive. Okay, so I want to give you some verses. What's the number for testimony in the Bible? Two, right? So whenever we come to any truth in the Bible, we should be able to have at least two verses to back up that truth. So let me give you some verses for vessel. Any of you know any right offhand? Romans. Romans what? 9. Romans 9, 21 and 23 talk about man being a vessel. I like 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Then 2 Timothy 20 through 21. This talks about being vessels unto honor. And then I like these ones. You probably don't know these ones. But this is Lamentations 4, 2. It talks about man being an earthen pitcher. Isn't that great? The Bible calls man an earthen pitcher. And I like this one even better. Jeremiah 22, 28. It talks about man being a vessel, but it also talks about man being a container. Right? So that's how God created man. He created man in a way that man would receive him and contain him and eventually express him by overflowing him. And really, this is what the first part of this message is about, is that we need to receive God, be filled with God, and then we need to overflow God. Amen. Amen. So man is a vessel, but actually, I brought this up here kind of as an illustration, and I don't know if it's a good illustration. So what is this? It's a vessel. Okay. Or a container or an earthen pitcher. Okay, so this is a vessel, and when we're joined together and knit together, all the vessels come together, the church becomes a corporate vessel. Right? So actually, you have to realize with the church is just a corporate man. Right? That needs to be filled with the triune God. And when that church is filled with the triune God, there's an expression. And that's what God is after. He's not after one man being filled with the triune God. Actually, that was the man Jesus, right? But, you know, that's the Gospels. But then the whole rest of the New Testament is about this corporate vessel. It's the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Okay, so man is a vessel. The church is a vessel. And I really like this. Who can recite real quick Ephesians 1:23? Okay, so this is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So I really appreciated this. A brother shared this with us. You know, this is another name for Christ in the Bible. The one who fills. That's who Christ is. Christ is the one who fills.
Amen.
And what Christ wants to do is fill us with his unsearchable riches so that we become the fullness, the full expression of the one who fills.
Amen.
So I hope you appreciate some of these verses. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and we kind of just glance over these things. But I've appreciated this so much. The one who fills.
Amen.
Lord, you're the one who fills.
Amen.
Fill me.
Amen.
I want to be filled.
Amen.
And I want all the brothers and sisters to be filled.
Amen.
So that we become the fullness
Amen.
Of the one who fills.
Amen.
Amen. So God's intention is to fill us personally, and his intention is to fill the church corporately for his corporate expression. So let me see if I can. I like to illustrate the fullness. And I didn't bring what I wanted to bring up. Can someone grab me one of those trays that are right under the water? I just don't want to make a mess up here. Can I have some brothers come up here? How about Bobby Peel, Carlos Avendano, and Armad? Where's Armad? Uh-oh. Oh, there he is. Okay. These are young men with excellent spirits.
Amen.
So here, you better stand over here, brothers, because you're going to get filled.
Amen.
Okay, here you go. Okay, so how do we get filled? What are some ways we can get filled?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Okay, what are some other ways we can get filled?
I want to be filled.
Let's sing. Okay, what are some other ways?
The one who fills.
All right, let's pray, read some verses. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He fills.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, let's fill
us.
We need to pray together, right?
Amen.
We need to pray. We're companions.
Lord.
Let's pray for somebody.
Oh.
Let's pray
yes.
for Philip. Pray for Philip.
Oh,
he needs to get saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh.
Philip. Okay.
Philip.
Amen.
Amen.
Phil.
Yes.
Phil.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
Amen.
It. So what are you going to do now?
Oh, let's go talk to Philip.
Yeah, go talk to Philip. Talk
Amen.
To Philip.
Philip, you need to be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Need to
Amen.
Repent, brother.
Amen. Amen.
So simple.
Amen.
He's rich.
Amen.
All who call.
Amen.
Amen.
Philip, do you want to get saved? Let's seal the deal. Amen. Amen. Call on the Lord. Lord Jesus. All right, Phil
Jesus.
Got saved. All right.
Jesus.
All right. All right. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh.
So that now they're full, right?
Yes.
And then eventually, we could put Philip down there. There's some fullness. There you go. All right. So really, I just want to illustrate. Okay, brothers, you can drink that. Amen. Do you see what the fullness is? The fullness is just the overflow of the riches of Christ. So this weekend, you know, there's so many things to help us to get filled, right? I really appreciate the morning watch. Isn't that so good? That's an excellent way to get filled. But we need to continue that practice, right? And we need to, I appreciate when I came in here, everyone was singing, or a lot of people were singing. It wasn't quiet in here. This isn't a cathedral, right? And everyone was exercising their spirit to sing. We got filled, right?
Yeah.
And then the brothers, they got together with their companions to pray. Isn't that wonderful to pray with your companions?
Yeah.
You know, I hurt my back at the cookout because I'm old and I don't exercise enough. So I was laid up yesterday during the group time, and one of the brothers came and asked me how I'm doing. And I was like, great. And he's like, we prayed for you. Hallelujah. My companions were praying for me. Right? So they got filled, and I got filled. And then we go and we preach the gospel.
Amen.
And actually, that's an excellent way to get filled. And then when someone receives the Lord, someone received the Lord, right? I heard about, didn't somebody receive the Lord yesterday? Yeah, y'all preached the gospel, someone received the Lord. Were you happy? Were you filled? Yeah, you're all like bubbling over, right? Okay, that's an excellent way to get filled. Amen. Preach the gospel, someone receives the Lord. Sometimes they don't receive the Lord and you still feel wonderful, amen. You know, but amen. There's so many ways for us to get filled. But when we are filled, not just personally, but when the church is filled corporately. You see how the brothers were together and they got filled? When the whole church gets filled, that's the fullness. That's the overflow of the rich God. So I want to share something else we need to know. So man is a vessel, right? I'll use red. And we saw this, right? We've been seeing this a lot. What is this? Yeah, this is man, right? His little arms here. That's a man. Feet. Okay. This is you. This is man. So what is this? Spirit. Right. And this is your soul. Okay. And this out here is body. Okay. And what verses? Give me two verses. Remember, we need testimony. What two verses? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, what does it say? And the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved. Right. Right, so this is this kind of holy, right? The God of peace sanctify you, not holy like Holy Spirit, but actually entirely. So God tells us, what is man's entire being? Body, soul, spirit, right? So this is anatomy, right? This is the anatomy of man, body, soul, and spirit. And what's another verse? Real quick. Genesis 2:7. Okay, don't forget, you need two for testimony. And there's a lot of other verses, but those are good for now. Okay, so man is tripartite. So let's read that first Roman numeral and A on the outline. Go ahead. Right. So John 3:6, what does that say? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Right? So you know the story of Nicodemus. He came to the Lord. He's looking for probably teachings, so maybe he could be a better person. And the Lord didn't, I love it there. The Lord doesn't even entertain his questions. He just says, Nicodemus, you need to be born anew. You need to be born again. You need to be regenerated. Or I like to say regenerated. Amen. With the divine life. Amen. And then he says, you know, Nicodemus is like, so I need to go into my mother's womb again and be born again. He said, even if you did that, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh, it's just flesh. You need to be born of the Spirit. Amen. In your spirit. So our spirit, when we receive the Lord, there's a little God as a spirit comes into our spirit. And you get some filling in your spirit. But what I wanted to impress you is with this verse is, you know, who has a turn? If you got a recovery version with footnotes, turn to 1 Peter 1:5 and 1:9. So for a lot of people, that's enough, and they kind of stop here. I've been born of the Spirit. I've been reborn. We're actually people of the second birth. Right? So the divine spirit comes into our spirit. But I really want to impress you that man is a vessel. And God's intention is to fill man's entire being. God's intention is to sanctify man wholly. So read verse 5. Go ahead. Right. So you're being guarded unto a salvation that hasn't been revealed and it's ready to be revealed at the last time. Read 1:9. I love this verse. Right. Do you ever see this verse? So you have the beginning of your faith. What is that? Yeah, that's John 3:6, right? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That's your birth. That's the beginning. What's the end of your faith? Yeah. So do you realize, you know, when sometimes people say that we use this a lot, have you been saved? So what should be your answer? No, it's not no. Don't say no. If you haven't been saved, come see me afterwards. Okay, so have you been saved?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you being saved?
Yes.
Right? Someone read Romans 5:10 real quick. Or if you know it, say it. Right, so we've been reconciled, we were enemies, but we need a much more salvation. So this is why we need a lot of filling, right? We need to be filled. Our whole vessel needs to be filled. So this is really God's intention with man. And if you have those footnotes there, how about you read, I believe it's, can you hand me my Bible? You have it here. I'm sorry, go to 1 Peter 1:9. Yeah, give me that. I like it. And how about we get three of you to stand up? And you're not going to read the whole footnote. Don't worry, it's a long footnote. I love the footnotes in the Recovery Version of the Bible.
Amen.
And this is one of my favorite footnotes in the whole Recovery Version. Okay, so this is under 1 Peter 1:5. 1:9. Yeah, 1:9. I believe it's note 1, right? 2. No. It's not 2. Yeah, it's 5. Sorry. It is 5. 5:5. And just start. Somebody just read the first sentence. You see there's 3 points there? So I'll read this first part. The full salvation, you see where I'm reading from? The full salvation of the triune God is in 3 stages and comprises many items. And somebody stand up and read 1, just the first sentence there. Actually, you can read that whole footnote, because that one's short, and that's what we're talking about now. Go ahead. Go ahead. Amen. 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 So, brothers and sisters, we receive God's life. We've become his children.
Amen.
And so no matter how much your parents dislike you, they can never disown you.
Amen.
You'll always be their children.
Amen.
So can we lose our salvation?
No.
Right? But we still need to be saved. Because our spirit has been enlivened, but we still have a lot of problems in our soul. Go ahead, somebody stand up and just read the first sentence of the second point. The progressing stage. Go ahead. And 3, somebody read that. Completing stage.
The completing stage, the stage of glorification, which is composed of the redemption, transfiguration of our body, conformity to the Lord, glorification, the inheritance of God's kingdom, participating in Christ's kingship, and the topmost enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen. So this is God. sanctifying us or saving us holy. Transformation is in our soul. This is God spreading out and filling our soul. And then eventually, God saturates us entirely, our whole body. So what I really appreciated from this is that this first point is that we're men of the second birth. We receive the life of God. And with that life, we've been talking about this, everything you need is in that life. You have the divine DNA. And that's why I like this word, regenerated. Regenerated. You have the divine genes. So I really like this. This guy came up to me and to speak to me on campus, and he was kind of being, he's trying to give me a hard time because we were at a table handing out Bibles, and he's eventually got to this point. He's like, do you need to keep the commandments? And I like Vern. It's like you always ask them a question. And what do you think is the hardest commandment to keep? And he listed off a lot of commandments, and I read him Matthew 5:48. I love this verse. What does that say? And you shall be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So have you ever met anyone like that? Have you ever met anyone that was perfect in the same way that the Father is perfect? But the reason I appreciate this verse, what's the most important word in this verse? Yeah, Father. Why? Yeah, because you have His life. That means you're children of your Father. That means you've received His DNA.
Amen.
And that means you can be perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Amen.
So in one sense, it's a command. Do you need to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect? Amen.
Amen.
Can you do it?
Amen.
No, amen. Kind of. You can't do it, but the genes can do it. You have the divine DNA, right? So we don't have to try in our natural life to do this. And let me just read you something. I really enjoyed this. Since we have been born of God, we must realize that everything of God has been born into us. In God's gene, there are holiness, righteousness, love, and the highest morality. Through our growth in life, everything in the gene which we have received will come out. When we grow, eventually, divine holiness, divine righteousness, and the divine love will grow out of us. What a wonderful thing that we all have been born of God.
Amen.
Let's say that. What a wonderful thing that we have all been born of God. Amen. What birth can exceed this birth? No birth is so high or so supreme as the birth of God. We have received a supreme birth. The birth of God, and by this birth, something divine has been born into us, into our being.
Amen.
Many of the teachings in today's Christianity turn people away from the divine gene to endeavoring and striving for self-improvement. These teachings are off from God's economy. We all must realize that we have been born of God, and all the divine attributes have been born into our being. In this divine gene are included all the divine attributes. We do not need teachings concerning self-improvement or concerning how to be a better Christian. I like this sentence here. We need the scientific teaching of the divine life to find out how to water this life and nourish this life to cause this life to grow. We do not need the teaching which teaches people to improve their behavior and to try, endeavor, strive, and struggle to do good. This teaching is the same as the teaching of Confucius. Right? Do you like that? Everything you need. No, you don't like the teaching of Confucius. We love the divine gene. Hallelujah. We've received the divine life with the divine gene, and all we need to do is help this life to grow by watering it.
Amen.
Right? And so let's read B in your outline. Go ahead. Right. So I like this verse a lot. You know, this word worship, it gets misused a lot. And kind of our understanding is very, it's a very religious understanding. And so even when we were to say, what is it to worship God? You would say it's to call on his name, praise him. It's a lot of things. But, you know, really the root of this word, it means to come forward and kiss.
Amen.
Right? That's what worship means. Come forward and kiss God.
Amen.
Come forward and give him a big kiss.
Amen.
You know, Psalms 2 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. So God doesn't like when you refuse to give him kisses, right? If I were to go home after this long trip and I were to try to give my wife a kiss and she refused my kiss, I'd be pretty angry. You know, I'd like, I'm going back to the college training. You take care of the four kids. But, you know, anyways, I like this verse because we do have the divine genes, right? But okay, I'll give you an illustration. I knew the brother of an NBA player. You know, everyone always knows somebody that knows somebody. Okay, so, and this player, he played in Arizona, so that's why I knew him really well. They won a championship there with him. He went to the NBA. He played for the San Antonio Spurs. They won a championship with him. He's a two-time All-Star. So, but I also knew his brother. And his brother would spend his days, he had the same genes because he was tall, and he had the size. You realize, he could have been a basketball player. Possibly. I mean, when I got next to this guy, I felt small and short. He was a big guy. So you realize, he has the potential, the genes. But guess what? If you went into McDonald's at any time in the day, he was there. And it was really sad. He spent his days in McDonald's. That's why I knew him, because every now and then I go into McDonald's and there was that guy sitting there. And you realize he had the right genes, but he had the wrong practice. Actually, he had no practice. And his brother, same genes, just different practice. So you realize we have the divine genes through the divine birth, but we also need to practice.
Amen.
And that's why this verse, you know, God is spirit. Those who worship him, kiss him,
Amen.
Must kiss him
Amen.
In spirit.
Amen.
So this needs to be part of our practice, is to kiss him. And I think here in this point, it talked about, I'll just touch one point, but it said, digest God. Does this term, be honest, I didn't grow up in the church life, so when I first heard the term digest God, eat God, did that offend you? Raise your hand if that offended you. Yeah, yeah. Masticate Jesus. Eat Jesus. Okay. So, if you know John 6:57, let's sing it. As the Living Father.
As the Living Father.
And I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me, shall live because of me. So a really good way to kiss the Son
Amen.
Is to eat him.
Amen.
And I like John, you know, this, I don't think this is on here, but with John 6:57, you need John 6:63. Because even his own disciples were offended and they left him. That's what it says. Many of them left him when they heard this word.
Yeah.
You want us to eat you? Yeah. And then he had to clarify to Peter. He said, the flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life.
Amen.
So really, we need to learn to, don't you appreciate the Bible this week?
Amen.
And don't you feel your need to read the Bible?
Amen.
And pray read the Bible?
Amen.
So that the Bible becomes spirit and life to us.
Amen.
So you see, this is practice, right? So you have the genes. You need to practice.
Amen.
Okay, let's read the next point. Let's read the next three points together. Go ahead.
Works together and exists together as
right? So we've been reborn of the Spirit. We digest and enjoy God in our spirit. And then we need to learn in our daily life to live by the witness in our spirit, to walk by our spirit, to live by our spirit, and to do everything by our spirit. And this is the practice. So let's read 2 together. Sorry, I'm running out of time. Go ahead, 2. Okay, and how about Ephesians 5:18? Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled in spirit. Tell your neighbor.
Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled in spirit.
Okay, go ahead and read A. So just a word about earthly pleasures. So to be drunk is really to be dissolute. Like you just don't know what's going on around you. You're unable to restrain yourself. And eventually this just leads to lust and all kinds of things. But really, I really appreciate the context of this verse. It comes right after the verse about redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And you realize all the earthly wine, it's good things, bad things, but all it does is really, it steals our time. So our being is not available to be filled with the Spirit. And so, you know, I guess one of the things that's going on now, I had to look up this Pokemon Go, because I didn't know what it was, and then I realized what it is. And they showed a video, it was in the news, and it was Central Park. And there was a rare Pokemon, I don't know what appears. But something appeared, I guess it's on your phone, right? An image appears or something, and you have a timer, and there's rare ones. And apparently a really rare one appeared in the park, and it's like the traffic was stopped, and there was this mad rut. I mean, you would think there was like an earthquake or something. There was just hundreds of people running for this Pokemon. And you just realize, you know, it's just a game. It's not sinful, right? But it can cause you to be drunk, right? It just steals all your time. You know, when I came into church life, I played basketball a lot. And you know when I played basketball? I played basketball every Sunday morning from 8 to 12 in the morning, from the time I was 14 to the time I was 24, with the same group of guys. And then I came into church life. And it took me months, to come to the Lord's table meeting, because I was drunk with basketball, right? And you can be drunk with education, right? You can be drunk with your job. You can be drunk with your children. You can be drunk with your spouse. You can be drunk with your friends. You could be physically drunk. You know, you could just, anything can befuddle us, can cloud us. And really, it just steals our being away. So this can't happen, right? And so it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's just earthly. It's an earthly pleasure. It's earthly wine. And it's anything that causes you to love that thing more than you love the Lord Jesus. Amen. So let's go ahead and read the following points. How about B and the brothers on B and sisters on C with the points? Amen. So I think you've had a lot of practice with this week, right? But I just say something about our speaking. You have to realize, I was always, been, you know, the number one fear, I think, for most people is fear of public speaking, right? But isn't it interesting, all the divine things, praising, calling on the name of the Lord, singing, preaching the gospel, what do they require? Speaking. They require your mouth. But the enemy, we have an enemy, and he's in us, and he causes us to be either timid, afraid, fearful, even if you're bold, right? Right? Even the brothers, we've been speaking, maybe you've spoken a lot of time, it's still not easy to get up and speak. It takes a lot of prayer, a lot of strengthening with power into the inner man to get blasted out of yourself. So I just encourage you, even in this training, maybe you haven't spoken yet, you have opportunities. Stand against the evil one. Learn to speak. Amen. We have a speaking God. Amen. We need to be a speaking people.
Amen.
And you need to practice. Remember, there needs to be some force. Yeah. You know, for me, when I first standing up in the church meetings, it was just, I would stand up, read a verse, sit down. I wouldn't even read from the morning revival. I was so scared. But eventually, you practice, exercise, speak. And you build up a habit to speak. That's the thing. You know, speaking once a month, that's great, but that's not a habit. Right? You need to build up a habit. But maybe you start with once a month. But really, to build up a habit is just to force yourself to do it every time.
Amen.
Speak. Okay, let's read the last point, D, and then. Right, so in the context of these verses, it talks about marriage, it talks about parents, children. Really, the only way to have a proper married life, the only way for husbands to love their wives, wives to be subject to their husbands, everyone to be subject to one another, children to obey their parents and to honor their parents, right? Even the parents to not vex their children. The only way is if we're filled in spirit. And that's the best way to have a family life, to have the church life,
amen,
right? So that God can have his fullness.
Amen.
Amen.
Mic'd up here. Even though I don't need it, for those of you that know me, I don't need a microphone. But they're recording, so hallelujah. Amen. The first thing I'll say is that recently I was traveling to Colorado on business, and we got to do a little outing. And in that outing, we actually went to Colorado Springs, where Pikes Peak is. And in that outing, we got to do this little climb. And in that climb, there's what's called a false summit. Anybody know what a false summit is? It looks like you've reached the top, but you actually haven't. So when you see it, especially me, after climbing approximately 2,000 feet, you get this relief, you start to relax, you slow down, you feel comfortable. And then when you hit the false summit, you look up, oh, there's still more to go. We're at the false summit. There's still more to go. Be exercised in your being.
Amen.
The rest of today, stay with us, trust us. You will gain something.
Amen.
This is just the false summit.
Amen.
And I know we're stretching you, and I know that because I'm stretched. But be exercised. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's come to point number three, Roman numeral three. Let's read it all together. Amen. And if you'll notice, as Brother Bobby went through the first messages on this line, we're actually covering the two references in Ephesians 5, which is filled in spirit, and then this one, this Roman numeral for Ephesians 6, which is pray at every time in spirit. Now, Brother Bobby Peel, during the twos or threes, discuss this verse in its relation to prayer and petition on behalf of all the saints, as well as how that then applies to us applying the whole armor of God. So that's not the perspective we want to look at today. We want to look at praying at every time. So let's read, if we can, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22. If you don't know the reference, I promise you know the verses. But it's good to turn in your Bible. Let's pull them and let's read them all together. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22. Amen. Amen. So I don't normally ask you to extend into those verses, but there's a reason why. So the first thing is I need a volunteer, and I've decided to pick on Caleb. Where's my brother Caleb? Come here, Caleb. Hallelujah. So, the first thing I want us to see is, like Brother Bobby mentioned, we have to kind of set the stage from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he created and formed man from the dust of the ground. And in this time, there was not one thing that prohibited an open line of communication between God and man. The default position of man was in open lines of communication. There was nothing between God and man. Man could talk with God, he could be instructed by God. But then if you go to Chapter 3, it says, now the serpent. And the main thing that the serpent did was break the communication. He shut off your Wi-Fi. He broke the lines of communication. And this is what praying is. Praying is not simply to utter words from a prayer list. Praying is not just saying words in a particular tone that you've heard other people do, and then people say amen after that. Prayer is to contact God, to absorb God, to receive God. This is the real definition of prayer. When you do that, God speaks to you, and then you actually utter words. So that sometimes we might just necessarily think that prayer is manifesting human language. But that's not prayer. Like the brother shared, prayer is echoing what's in God's heart through your mouth. So, hallelujah. After this, approximately 4,000 years, our Lord Jesus Christ came. God became a man. And he went through a marvelous process, and in his death and resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit. And as Brother Bobby pointed out, we need to be born in spirit. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, he's taken care of every negative thing in the universe. And the ability, the capability for God and man to have communication has now been restored. The way to the tree of life is now open. Amen. But man's default position is still not as it was. You have to try. You have to exercise. You have to practice. You have to still make a choice. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, there is still a requirement in order for you to exercise your spirit, in order for you to pray, to contact God and absorb God. Meaning if there is not resistance, if there is not exercise, this is why our brother used the word exercise, is he realized it was an exercise. And I pick on Caleb because I know he exercises. So Caleb, let's get down here, and if you can get in the push-up position. I know you know what it is. Good. Okay. Now, Caleb, if he works out, Caleb knows how to best work out. And the best way to exercise your muscles through muscle resistance is what we call, Caleb, time under tension, right? So the way that you... See, what Caleb's doing is he's supporting himself in his body by his structure, his skeletal structure. This is the church life. The joints, the big muscle groups. Now what I'm going to ask Caleb to do is get into a half push-up. There you go. Yep. And hold it. Oh, come on, brother. I can hold it longer than that. Time under tension. Hold it. So point one, prayer must be in spirit. Caleb, keep going. Prayer must be in spirit, for the real significance of prayer is to contact God in our spirit and to absorb God. Caleb, if your mind is overactive or if emotion is not under control, you're going to find it difficult to pray. No. This is a little bit of an experiment to prove a point as well. So point three.
Let me help you in this experiment. Have your other mic.
Point three. Point three says... Amen. Time under tension. Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Let's all read point three together. Amen. So every time we turn to the Spirit, just like you fellowshipped and presented in yesterday's message, that Spirit then overflows into your soul to renew your mind. The way you have a sober mind is to not practice and think about things that are at high levels, Confucius philosophy. The way you have a sober mind is you exercise your spirit. And the spirit of your mind is enacted to then be sober. So we have to practice. Now the key burden for me today is the illustration of Caleb. When you exercise something, there's resistance. Eventually, that resistance is going to win out. Eventually, you're going to fail. There might be a time during this training where you've already failed. I bet you, for the majority of us, there has been. I've already failed. You can only hold out so long. Because your spirit is only so strong. But if you take it to failure, Caleb should know this, it tears the muscle and it goes back stronger. So every single time that you pray, that you turn to the Spirit, at some point, through the temptation of the devil, through the lusts of your flesh, through your unregulated and uncontrollable mind, emotion, and will, you're going to fail. But in that failure is God's multifarious wisdom. Amen. Every single time you fail, your spirit gets stronger. And thus, the enemy is defeated one more time. Amen. See, we think that when we fail, we're failures. Oh, Lord Jesus, I can't do it. The Lord views that as a success. Hallelujah. You're getting stronger in your spirit. Amen. Don't take the lie of the enemy. The lie that would tell you, the lie that would play on your human natural pride. Oh, you're a failure. You can't be a Christian. Hallelujah. We've told you time and time again, you can't be a Christian. If you want to have a proper overcoming church life, you have to be in the Spirit, turning to the one who is the real overcomer. Hallelujah. So don't trust in the outward circumstances. Don't trust or don't put any weight in your failure. Now, I'll balance this. Paul says in Romans, should we continue or should we abound in sin? Absolutely not. So heed our word from Brother Tim last night as well concerning taking care of our conscience. But too many times we put too much emphasis on a failure that we have instead of that being the opportunity to exercise our conscience, to then strengthen our spirit yet again. And if you think about it, if you read the ministry, this is the reason Adam fell. This is the reason Adam fell. There was no differentiation. This is the reason that even though the flesh, sin, and death were crucified and taken care of on the cross, the Lord sovereignly left us with our flesh to learn the experiences and to battle and be violent with ourselves against it. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah for the human spirit.
Amen.
Now, the last thing I'll say is that if you want to be able to pray and have a proper Christian life and then in turn have a proper overcoming church life, you have to realize, just like the brothers have been sharing in the twos and threes, don't try to do this alone. There are scheduled regular times practically within our human life that if you have those times, they will cause you to be quote-unquote successful. They will cause you, help you to have a proper overcoming church life. Think about a fence. If you have nothing but just flat fence posts, after a certain amount of time, that fence will fall down. What holds that fence up is not just the panel of the fence, but those large 4x4s that are dug deep into the ground. And then each of the fences are basically nailed to those large holding areas. Those holding fence posts, that's the church life. That's the stations in your life. That's the college meeting. That's your twos and threes. That's the Lord's table meeting. All of those things are holding up all of the individual experiences that you might have in your daily Christian life. If you're not attending the Lord's table, if you're not in the prayer meeting, if you don't have companions, don't ever expect to build this wall. It will never, ever happen. Even the Lord sovereignly, practically within our situation, ordained it. Otherwise, we would be the Lord Jesus Christ. We would think too highly of ourselves. So the Lord has ordained all of these practical experiences for us to be able to pray at every time, as well as to have a proper overcoming church life. So hallelujah. Hallelujah for the revelation of the human spirit in the book of Ephesians.
Amen.
Keep practicing.
Amen.
Even though you're going to fail. We're still failing. See, that may be the misconception you have, is that you think we no longer fail and we've arrived. How can I ever be like this brother? No, we're just at a further stage. Still failing. Still going on. If you're failing, you're going on. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe we can just take 30 seconds and pray with your neighbor.